in the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus. Give me when I come.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus.
Can I hear just the church sing, my hope is built on nothing less?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Let's sing Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, we made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Oh, when darkness, the veil, Christ alone, oh Christ alone, cornerstone, we made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Let's sing it, Christ alone. Let's stand together and sing this last verse. When He shall come.
When He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in His
it's our prayer to today.
Just in His righteousness alone. Fall is to stand before the throne.
How I need you now.
oh God. We stand on your faithfulness. Listen, you heard your children then. You heard your children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are.
You were providing. Oh,
you were providing.
Spirit in this place.
I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come and fill me again.
Well, hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. Hey, there I am. How's everyone feeling tonight? You sound great, by the way. Thanks for being here. Thanks for worshiping with us. My name is Marvin. It's always a pleasure to be with you, one of the pastors on staff here. For anybody visiting us tonight, just want to say thank you for being here. Love that you are with us. Love that you've chosen to spend today with us. And just want to say thank you for being with us. We would love to get to know you. There is a connection card. Those are right in the seat back in front of you. You can grab that connection card, fill that out, drop it in the offering basket. Someone will call you this week. And we just want to say hello. We just want to say thank you for being with us. We want to hear your story as well. Maybe pray for you if we can. There's also a New People's Table that's out in the lobby. You can stop by the New People's Table, get a free gift from us, and also as a way of connecting with someone that will follow up with you. And to our online community, I want to say thank you for joining us. We love that you are with us as well online and hope that you are being blessed by this service. Well, I have a few announcements for you, but I just wanted to highlight that all of these things are on our app, on our website, in the bulletin, so make sure you use those resources. But a few things I'd like to highlight for you right now. One is, I don't know if you've heard, but Easter is around the corner. It's coming. It's here. Easter weekend is here. We're going to celebrate. We're going to party. We're going to have a great time celebrating the risen King. So make sure you make plans to be with us. Make sure you invite someone to be with us, because we love it when you bring somebody with you. Easter weekend is April 8th and 9th, so Saturday and Sunday here at Christian Assembly. And I've got some details for you, so hang with me, because I want to give you some information about how we're going to do Easter here at Christian Assembly. One, we've got a great kids program. So if you have a young person in your life, or a neighbor or a friend, invite them. Kids Church Easter experience is going to be amazing, so make sure that you're inviting them. We've got some invitation cards. Those are out in the lobby. You can pick them up. We want you to invite your friends, your family members, your coworkers, your neighbors, anybody you talk to. Invite them to join you for Easter here at Christian Assembly. Parking, you may ask. Really easy here at Christian Assembly. And let me tell you how easy it's going to be, because you're all going to listen and you're going to know exactly what to do when you come for Easter weekend. We have secured parking spots over at the Eagle Rock Plaza next to Macy's. So go over to the Macy's side. You can park there. We'll have shuttles running back and forth at all of our service times. So you can park at the Macy's and take a shuttle, and it'll drop you off right at our doorstep, and you can easily park and come to Christian Assembly at Easter. Lastly, I want to say, if you've not yet filled out an RSVP card, I know many of you have, so thank you so much for doing that. But if you've not yet filled that out, just want to ask you to please do that. Those cards are in the seat back in front of you. And while you grab that seat back, I'm going to have these guys flash on the screen some of our available service times. As you can see, some of them are full and some of them are still open. As you're filling out that card, would you please consider coming to one of the services that is open? So I'm going to pause for a moment, have you fill that out. But you can see there that the 4 p.m. on Saturday is full, but you can still make your way to the 6:15 p.m. on both the south and north sides, as well as the 9 a.m. is full, and then come to the North Sanctuary, North Tent at 9 a.m., and again at 11:15, you can see those service times there. Well, thank you for doing that. Again, not a ticket, just as a way of letting us know to plan ahead to see who's coming to what services so we can be best prepared for you. Also, we are excited that we are hosting Good Friday services. That's going to be on Friday, April 7th. And there's two service times that you can participate in, 5:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. So come, be with us, reflect and worship as we remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Just as a side note, for that service, no childcare is provided. For the men in the house, any guys here? We are going to gather, and I'm excited that we are going to gather. On April 19th is our next men's gathering. We do that once per quarter, and it's a great time to be together and to worship together with other men, and it's just a fantastic time. So guys, make plans to be with us on Wednesday, April 19th in this room at 7 p.m. Fusion is our 18 to 35-year-old community that meets Sunday nights at 6. They are hosting a conference entitled Revive. And so if you're 18 to 35, if you know someone 18 to 35, invite them or register yourself to be a part of the Revive conference. There are going to be lots of great topics such as dating, prayer, mental health, and more. So you definitely want to be a part of the Revive conference. And finally, the baptism class will be happening tomorrow at 1 p.m. over to my right in room 100. And so if you've given your life to Jesus, but you've not yet been baptized, we would love to walk you through what it looks like, what the Bible has to teach about baptism. So you can do that tomorrow, 1 p.m. over to my right at 1 p.m. again. And baptism services on April 22nd and 23rd. Well, that was a lot, but again, all this information is on our website, so you can follow up there as well. I'm going to invite our ushers to prepare themselves as we consider worshiping through the giving of our tithes and offerings. And before I call them up, I'm going to read out of Psalm 107, verse 1, and it says the following. It says, "Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And the reason that we worship God, whether it be through song or through the giving of our tithes and offerings, is a reflection of his goodness on our lives. We've sung about it, and now we get to live that out in a practical way. So would you join me in prayer as we consider how we worship this way? Lord, we are so grateful for all the ways that you've been shown your goodness into our lives, Lord. We're grateful for the gospel. We're grateful that we get to celebrate Easter in this room and across the street with our friends, family, loved ones, and anybody who's coming, Lord. And we just pray that you give us a cheerful heart as we turn our attention to worshiping you through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Whether we do it here in the service or through the app or website, Lord, we just give this time back to you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We ask that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you may come.
Well, church, let's make that song our prayer, that we would be a people, a church that would say, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me out in my workplace. Send me out in my neighborhood. Send me out in my relationships." And what I'm so thankful for is that we're a church on mission. Amen. And we get to extend this kingdom value that we have together. And so my name is Scott, and this is a Kingdom Weekend where once a month we take time to highlight how God's moving through our church as we follow him on mission. You know, this weekend we have a great honor to hear from one of our Kingdom partners, Bakri Bunga, who does ministry in Nigeria. And we support Bakri along with 20 church planters who are sharing the gospel amidst immense persecution and suffering. Bakri, in so many ways, is a modern-day hero of the faith. He's leading a movement that's seeing thousands come to Christ. And so he's so influential that a jihadist terrorist group called Boko Haram has a bounty on his head. And so we have a dear honor that we get to hear from our brother. Let's give him a warm welcome as he comes up.
Good Thank you.
Amen. Bakri, you know, such an honor when we think about what you've endured, the leadership that you carry on behalf of so many of the vulnerable, those who've been persecuted, and we just want to say thank you for who you are and all that you do for the kingdom. And, you know, can you just share, you know, start by sharing with our church family a greeting as well as, you know, what God's been doing through the ministry of Equa and the impact that's been happening?
Thank you. I want to thank God for this church. The moment I step in the compound of the church and all the warm welcome, I just feel healed within my spirit. The love, the prayers meant a lot for me, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for not only giving, but praying and identifying with us. And I want to say thank you. I want to thank God that not only people, but even the professor that poured his life into me, Professor Mel Lux, who I studied under, Tony, and the rest of them, were privileged friends to be here. And I just want to say thank you to them. And God has been so good. Even in the midst of chaos in our country, as you all know that Nigeria is on top of the list of the number one country that is so hard for Christians to live in. But even with that, we see the grace of God. I work with Equa, and I work with the arm of the mission arm of the church that has about 4,000 church planters working in 19 countries. And God has been so good to us. Through your giving and prayers, last year, we were able to realize within the 19 countries about 12,891 conversions, people that came to faith to the Lord. And also, and we baptized about 2,500 people, and we win out about 500 churches that have been giving out for people to take care. And we look at all this as the goodness of the Lord. Even in the midst of persecution, God is still at work, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of the Lord. And this is because you are praying. And from time to time from this church, I have people just giving a call, spending time in prayers. That really meant a lot to us. I served the organization for 38 years. I retired the last 2 years, but they still assigned me to another area. So for the past 2 years, I've been serving in another area that is called City Ministries of EMS of Equa. Deals with reaching the vulnerable children, kids in the street, people rejected, women that have been impregnated by terrorists, girls that have been captured by terrorists and released, and nobody wanted them in the society. Dealing with the lepers, dealing with the blind, dealing with women that came out of prison and nobody wanted them in the community. We have rehabilitation of such, and presenting them, discipling them, going through trauma healing, and presenting them unto the Lord. And God has been good to us. Well, one good thing is that even in the midst of the chaos and the terrorism going on, God is at work. Mumun Yakub came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a terrorist that killed a lot of people. And he called. He wanted to know the way of the faith. And I directed him to one of our missionaries that is very close to him. And they led him to Christ. When Mumun went back, Yakub went back to his family, they wanted to kill him also. And he ran away. Guess where he will go? Who will accept a terrorist in his house? Mumun went to Barka's house. And Barka welcomed him with his 5 children and adopted him to become his own son and the children. And who is Barka? Barka was a Muslim who Mumun killed his son. He killed his son that is sleeping under a tree And now, because of the transformation of Christ, Baraka can say, I have forgiven you, and I have adopted you and your 5 children and your wife to become my family. Wow. That is the power of the gospel. And I can go on and on telling you the stories of how terrorists themselves have been transformed to the glory of God. And that is because people like you are praying for us. And I just want to say thank you for being there for us. And trust that God will continue to lead us in this partnership for his own glory.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can we thank God for just amazing ways he's moving? Well, Bakker, we thank God for you.
Yeah.
And I know as we've talked and prayed together, you know, if you don't know Bakker, the scope of his leadership and what he oversees and the mantle of leadership that he carries, being put in positions where he has to negotiate the release of Christian brothers and sisters who've been captured and overseeing church plant, all the different ways that you've ministered. Bakker, we want to come alongside you as a church family, and we want to intercede and lift you up. As Bakker was sharing, our prayers matter. Mm-hmm. Our prayers for the persecuted church matters, and we're knit together in the family of God. And so let's take some time now. Let's extend our hands, and let's pray for Bakker. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're with Bakker. We sense your presence, Lord, with him. God, thank you that you're with brothers and sisters in Nigeria right now, Lord. And we pray, God, just a powerful anointing of your Holy Spirit over Bakker right now. God, that you'd be with him in every circumstance. God, as he's here now, we pray you'd refresh him, that you'd bring a healing touch, Lord, all over him in his body. In his spirit, Lord, he'd be encouraged, that he'd be filled up afresh. We pray protection over him. God, we pray that you would give him the endurance by your spirit to continue to fight the good fight of faith. God, we thank you for the power of the gospel in his life and the life of so many others as you're moving powerfully, Lord, in Nigeria and beyond. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to move mightily, and nothing can come against, Lord, the church of Jesus Christ and the ways that you're moving. And so, God, we just pray, Lord, for Bakker. We thank you so much for our brother, and we lift him up to you in Jesus' name. We also pray, Lord, for all our brothers and sisters, Lord, facing persecution. God, would you set the people free? Would you change circumstances? Would you move in mighty ways, Lord? And we ask, God, that you'd bring a breakthrough and a revival in this place for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Bakker.
Thank you.
Absolutely incredible, you know, what God's doing through Bakker and his ministry. Well, I want to encourage you, continue to pray for Bakker. Continue to pray for him. If you want to you know, connect with him outside after the service as well, encourage you to do that as well. I want to share just a few quick upcoming Kingdom events. Coming up next, our next outreach event, we're going to have a Hope Gardens Easter outreach. And this is happening on Saturday, April 8th. We're going to need volunteers to help us put on an Easter outreach for women and children experiencing homelessness at Hope Gardens in Sylmar. And so we're going to lead games, give out Easter baskets, food, and share a gospel message. And so you can register online or out in the lobby as well. We're also sending a team to Mexico to partner with La Roca Ministries on May 5th through the 7th. And this team will be doing work projects as well as helping some outreach events in the community. And so you can also find more information and register online. Well, ushers, you can come forward now. Now's the time we're going to give the kingdom offering that supports Bakker and his ministry, along with all of our other local and global kingdom partnerships and efforts that are having tremendous impact. And I just want to say our giving matters, and it's incredible what we get to be a part of in the kingdom through our giving, through our prayers. And so thank you so much, church family. You can also give online. Just make sure you click the kingdom offering tab. Thanks again.
Bakker, we're so honored to have you here with us, but even more than just being here this weekend, we are honored to know you. We are honored to have our hearts and prayers joined with you in support of you. Well, to anyone who is visiting this weekend, my name is Matt. Those joining us online, glad to have you with us. And to all of my CA family, I love these times that we get to share together. Some of you have heard me tell this story that I want to tell right now before, but I'm going to tell it again. I'll never forget the New Year's Eve before Lindsay and I were married. We were living in Texas at the time, and our church there was holding a midnight prayer meeting. Started at 11:30, and the idea was to gather and pray together into the new year. Lindsay and I were at my family's house for a gathering of friends and family, and then we slipped away to go to this prayer meeting, this midnight prayer meeting. We got on the road to head to the church, and it was raining, and so all the cars were driving cautiously, and all of a sudden I heard a siren and saw lights behind me, and I was getting pulled over by police. So I pulled my car over and rolled down my window, and the policeman came and asked for my license and registration. And the first question that he asked me was, Mr. Price, have you been drinking tonight? I said, no, sir. He asked where I was headed. I said, well, I'm on my way to a prayer meeting at my church. And he looked at me very suspiciously. And he said, are you sure you haven't been drinking? I said, no, sir. I've been at my family's house all evening. I've had nothing alcoholic to drink at all. And he said, get out of the car. And so I got out. He tells me to walk behind the car where the spotlight is shining on me, and he starts a whole sobriety routine. Stand up straight, touch your nose, do this, do that, say your ABCs, walk in a straight line. And I do all those things, and he says to me, I'm going to give you one more chance to tell me if you've been drinking tonight, because, sir, your speech is seriously slurred. I said, I promise you have had nothing to drink tonight. I actually get that a lot. And then he said to me, I'm going to let you go, Mr. Price, but I want you to know you have all the makings of a drunk man. That's what he said to me. It's very unsettling when someone misunderstands the truth about you. But what might be even worse is to misunderstand the truth about ourselves and to begin to believe what isn't true about us. That's what we're looking for in this series we've been together. What's your real ID? What's the most reliable truth about you? And what we have been asserting week after week in this series is that the most reliable truth about who you are is who God says you are. That's your true identity. That's your real ID. And so today I want to tell you something else God says you are. And that is this: you are called to be a disciple. You may have all the makings of something else, but the truth is you are called to be a disciple. What's a disciple? That's a churchy Bible word, isn't it? And so we need to unpack it and understand what is a disciple, because it's who you and I are called by God to be. And so what I want us to do with our time together is I want to look at an overview of being a disciple in one of the Gospels, and then I want to look in three directions for what a disciple is. I want us to look backward, forward, and to each side. So that's where we're going to go. But the verses that we're going to look at are in your bulletin. They'll be on the screens. Let's look at Matthew's Gospel and an overview there of what a disciple is. Here we go. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water. These guys were fishermen. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. And they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. And so far in Matthew's gospel, we get a picture of disciples, fishermen, leave their nets and follow Jesus. A disciple is called to follow and accepts that call. In chapter 8, Matthew tells us more. When Jesus saw a crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. And then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." So we have this action of following again. But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. Are you sure you know what you're saying if you say you want to follow me?" Disciples face radical choices. Jesus makes it clear that to follow him is going to disrupt priorities in your life. A disciple follows Jesus in pursuit of what can be and what will be rather than what is. Verse 21, another of his disciples said, "Lord, first let me return and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead." Disciples face radical departures from the past as they follow Jesus. Chapter 9, Matthew tells us a little bit more. He tells us in this case about his own beginning as a disciple. Jesus was walking along and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. So that whether you leave nets or whether you leave business, whatever you leave, a disciple hears and responds to the call from Jesus to follow him. And following involves leaving some things behind in order to obtain what is ahead. And one more little piece of Matthew's gospel at this point is in the very next chapter where Jesus calls his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Now, that's very different from just leaving nets or leaving tax booths. Jesus calls these guys to follow him, and then he sends them out with all the makings of something they were not, all the makings of life in God's kingdom. And then Matthew tells us who these disciples were. He gives us their names: Simon and Andrew, James and John and Philip, Bartholomew and Thomas, Matthew and James, another James, Thaddeus and another Simon, and then Judas, who later betrayed him. Now surely Jesus recruits the greatest team in human history, right? The 1992 Dream Team's got nothing on these guys. Surely he is going to call together the world's greatest minds to follow him. You might think that that's what the Son of God would do, but Matthew wants to make it very clear that nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus chooses fishermen, a tax collector, a political zealot, a few lesser-known guys who leave almost no record of impact, and Jesus even chose one who betrayed him. Who these disciples were has little to do with who they become as they follow Jesus. Who they were has little to do with who they become. These disciples accept Jesus' invitation to follow him out of their past and into what is only possible with God. And that is what you are invited to do. That is who God says you are. You are called to be a disciple. So if you have already chosen to respond to that call, to accept it, and to follow Jesus, or if you have never chosen to accept that call and follow Jesus, either way, I want us all to be aware of what God's Word says about being a disciple. And as I mentioned, we're going to look in three directions to understand what it means to be a disciple. We're going to look behind us because every disciple has a past. We're going to look ahead of us because every disciple has a future. And we're going to look beside us because every disciple can make disciples. Okay, that's where we're going. Let's look at what is behind a disciple. Disciples are called out from who they were, where they have been, what they have done, and called to leave behind whatever stands in the way of life with Jesus. Andrew, Peter, James, and John left their nets behind. They were fishermen. You've got to understand for a moment that they fished with nets. There are no rods and reels in this business. They're commercial fishermen, and yet they leave their nets behind, which means they leave their livelihood. No nets, no fish, no fish, no money. Jesus shows up, and some of you know the story. He gets into Peter's boat, and he tells him, Put your nets down for a catch. Peter's been fishing all night, all morning, and still has no fish. But he says, Jesus, if you say so, I'll do it. And he puts his nets down, and his nets are so filled with fish that his boat begins to sink. Peter had always thought, nets. Nets were his business. Nets were the most essential thing he owned. Jesus comes along and says, I see your nets, but no fish. And as soon as Peter follows Jesus' words, he realizes there's something more important than nets. Nets can't do what Jesus can do. Disciples leave behind the very thing that they used to believe their lives depended on to follow Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector, which is to say that he made a living working for his enemy and cheating his own people so that he could take a cut off the top. That's who Matthew is. He's a Jewish man who has sold out to the Romans. His family is ashamed of him. The Romans don't care about him. Matthew is stuck in this tax booth when Jesus comes along and says, follow me. Now that's not where Matthew was meant to be. Jesus has to come by and say, you were meant for life with God. Matthew, you are meant to be reconciled with God and with the people you've cheated and betrayed. You're not a lost cause. You're not without hope of redemption. You are called out to be a disciple. Look at what Matthew tells us in chapter 16. He says, Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. You must turn from your way, the way that seems right to you, the way that serves you, all about you. You have to turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. The cross is an emblem of suffering and shame and death. And Jesus is telling them an old way of your life has to die. An old way that ends up in shame has to die away. It has to end. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, Jesus says, trusting that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? The Bible says there's a way that seems right to people, but in the end leads to nothing. But the Bible also says there is one way that leads to life that overcomes even death and the grave. The famous words of Psalm 23 tell us, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When you're following Jesus and you look behind you, you can see the goodness of God and the mercy of God. When you look behind you, you see, wow, look. Look at how patient God has been with you and me. Look at how gracious He has been to us. Look at how forgiving. Look at all that God has rescued us from. When you look back as a follower of Jesus, look at all that God has done for us. The stuff we gave our souls away for. The places we got our lives stuck in. Thank God for His willingness to keep making disciples of people like you and me. Thank God there is still a chance to follow Jesus out of some of the places we're stuck in. Are there some old ways of life that God is still calling you to walk away from? Are there some nets that you keep going back and picking up? Disciples always have a past behind them. But when you follow Jesus, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. What about looking forward? What's in front of a disciple? Well, in front is always the one we're following. In front is always Jesus, inviting us to keep following, to keep going, to keep believing. Disciples keep their attention fixed on Him. They look for Him. They look for the one that they're following. Disciples, those who follow Jesus, they want to keep His teachings before Him, His commands before Him, His example before Him, His words of truth and actions of love. They want to keep His promises before them and His power to overcome before them. That's what we want to look through. We want to look toward the future with Jesus in our sights. When disciples look ahead, Jesus is there always. Always inviting them to keep following no matter what. When you have everything you've asked for, look ahead and keep believing. When your heart is full of joy and your home is full of peace, look ahead and keep believing Him. And when your plans fail and when expectations are soured, don't stop believing that Jesus still holds your hope like an anchor for your soul. When God answers your prayers and when He doesn't, keep following and discovering His plans of redemption. Do not despair. Do not give up. Do not turn aside to empty promises. Disciples, keep following Jesus because there's more of life with him ahead. When people ask me about our church, there's so much that I love to tell them about you. I love to tell people of how just what a big-hearted church Christian Assembly is. I love to tell them that we're a grace-giving church, a God-honoring people. And I know some of you, I know that we have some stories to tell. I know the truest version of some of us. I know God has rescued and saved and called us away from all kinds of trouble. I know we're a bunch of people in process on the way to who God says we will be. And when I tell people about our church, one of the things that I love to tell them is that Christian Assembly has been in L.A. for over 100 years, 116 in fact. Not much of anything has lasted that long in Los Angeles. In most churches in L.A., not all, but most churches that are 100 years old aren't still growing and serving and having the same parking problems we have. What is it that keeps this church going from generation to generation? There's only one answer to that. It is that we keep looking ahead at Jesus before us, and we keep following Him from generation to generation, from world crisis to world crisis, from challenge to challenge, opportunity to opportunity. We keep believing God's word is true. We keep believing there is no other name, never will be, in any age, at any time, by which we must be saved. And so we keep preaching the invitation to trust and follow Jesus. And in Him alone, we keep placing our hope. Every day you are invited to be a disciple who wakes up and looks ahead and keeps following and trusting and practicing all that Jesus commands of us. That's what disciples do. And here's the third direction we're going to look in the last one. I want us to look to the right and the left because every disciple can make disciples. Disciples bring others along with them and invite others to receive what they have received. Who's coming with you? Who are you calling and inviting to follow Jesus beside you? Disciples make disciples. Because what Jesus offers you isn't just for you. It's for the whole world. It's for your family. It's for your neighbor. Think of how you started trusting and following Jesus. You responded to someone's invitation. That's what disciples do. They invite others to follow Jesus beside them. Look at how Matthew's gospel concludes. At the end of his book, beginning in verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples," notice, "were missing one." Judas, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, is no longer with them. Some will not accept our invitations to follow alongside us. And so 12 is now 11, who left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. They're looking for Him, always before them. Verse 17, "When they saw Him, they worshiped Him." I love this right here. "But some of them doubted." Isn't that amazing? It always makes me think about how true it is of you and me that we are so capable of doubting Him. Even those who saw Him after the resurrection leave an empty tomb behind, and they doubted him. How capable we are of questioning God. We believe and then we unbelieve. Some doubted, and yet Jesus speaks to all of them. He doesn't stop and say, I know some of you are doubting. Can you wait for me under the tree over there? He doesn't do that. He makes this call to all of them, full of faith or wavering faith. These words are for all of us. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you, I am with you, I am with you, I will never not be with you, I am with you to the end. Disciples make disciples. This is what has been called the Great Commission, because Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go out and do this, and some have called it the Great Omission. Because of how often we have omitted this part of being disciples. We are so easily like those who doubt and conclude, I'm not the disciple making material. That doesn't matter to Jesus. If you are willing to follow him, do you not believe that he will make of you what you have not yet made of yourself? Jesus commissions all of us. Great or small faith doesn't matter. Get going. And as you go, as you follow him, call out to others to follow alongside. Disciples who make disciples are not perfect disciples. They're just honest disciples with honest invitations. I don't have to be a perfect disciple to be an honest inviter. When disciples look to their left and to their right, they see others who need what they also have needed and have found in Jesus. And I wonder who is on your mind. Who do you know needs to be invited to leave some old ways behind and follow Jesus? Perhaps there is no better time of year to invite than Easter. It's why we print cards and put up billboards, and it's why we ask for RSVPs. And by the way, I noticed there's still a lot of room in the tent, which is good news for you. You still have the opportunity to do Easter in the tent. It's going to be rocking, I'm telling you. That's why we make such a big deal at this time of year. And so I want to ask you to pray. Pray with me for who you might invite to the Easter services this year. Now, some of you don't need to wait until Easter. You hear the invitation to follow Jesus today. Do not pass up that invitation. Is anything worth more than your soul? Do you hear the call of the Savior to drop your nets, to drop what you thought your life depended on? And to find that he is better, he is more. Do you hear the call of Jesus to walk out of your past and to leave what you know is dead behind? This is your invitation to walk with Jesus into a new way of living. Jacob, if you'd come and join me, I'd like for us to have just a moment of prayer. I want to give you just a moment to close your eyes and look for Jesus in front of you. to believe that he is still inviting you. He is still inviting you to more of life with him. He is still inviting you to believe his words, to put them into practice. Jesus is still inviting some of us out of some places where we thought we'd never get out of that. But he can call us away from what we have been stuck in. Some of us have been depending upon things that we were never meant to depend upon. And it's the reason that we want control. It's the reason that we're anxious. It's the reason that we feel the way we do in life, because we were never meant to depend on some of the things we've grown to depend upon. Do you hear the call of Jesus to lay it down, to set that down, to be still. Let your hands drop to your side and know that he is the Lord. He is the Savior who has come for you, who is calling to you, who is reminding you of the truth of his words. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Keep following to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, we pray together and say, Amen.